Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thanks for sharing part of your day with me. If you're a New Yorker, no doubt you've watched New York One, the 24-hour local news channel. And if you've been looking closely, you may have noticed that some familiar faces haven't really been on your screen lately. The alleged reason has led to a lawsuit. Five New York One anchor women, including recognizable faces Roma Torre and Vivian Lee, filed a 63-page age and discrimination lawsuit against Charter Communications, parent company of the 24-hour local news network. The filing contains documented HR complaints gone unanswered, charts demonstrating slashed airtime, and photos of younger women supposedly being groomed to take their places. The journalists are between the ages of 40 and 61. And in an open letter released after the filing, the women said, quote, "Women in media should be celebrated for the diversity of experience and wisdom. We should be long past the days that women of a certain age are deemed expendable," end quote. Michael Grimbaum, media correspondent for the New York Times, is covering the story this week, and he interviewed the women in question, and he's going to share his reporting with me. Michael, thanks so much for joining us.
And thanks for having me.
So what is specifically being alleged in this lawsuit? I kind of gave broad strokes.
Well, it's essentially, it's age and gender discrimination. And what's described is a systematic effort by the new management at NY1 to effectively force these older female anchors off the air in favor of younger and, as the lawsuit alleges, less experienced hosts.
And what the women are concerned about, one of the things they're concerned about is the airtime they've been getting since the new company took over. Can you give us an example of what they're concerned about?
Yeah. So it's a few things. Roma Torre joined NY1 in 1992, which was the year it began. And as she describes it, she, up until a couple years ago, had 4 hours a day where she was the solo anchor on NY1. And in the last 2 years, she says that that has gone down to 1 hour a day. And that's kind of a similar tale that her colleagues on this suit say, that they often filled in for anchors during the day or on nights when others were off, and that's no longer happening. But there's also smaller allegations that they were barred from using a new multi-million dollar studio that was provided for certain hosts, but not them, that they weren't allowed the same makeup teams, and essentially just that they found themselves increasingly marginalized in favor of new hires who they say don't have the award-winning experience that they do.
Yeah, there are a couple of graphs in the filing which are pretty startling. For example, in Kristen Shaughnessy, her weekday morning fill-ins, in 2014, she filled in 44 times, in 2015, 46, in 2016, 47, in 2017, 48, in 2018, 5, and in 2019, 0.
It's a striking drop-off, and actually I've been flooded with emails and calls since the story ran from viewers who say, you know, I watch NY1 every day, it's part of my routine. I thought that I wasn't seeing these women as often as I was, and they said, your story really explained to us this kind of feeling they were having that these personalities were just not showing up on air as often.
Yeah, the five women, to be clear, are Vivian Lee, Amanda Farinacci, Janine Ramirez, Kristen Shaughnessy, and Roma Torre, as we mentioned. Let me ask you a couple questions about Charter Communications. When did they come in and take over New York One?
Well, a lot of listeners probably know that their Time Warner cable packages abruptly became Spectrum Cable about 2.5 years ago. That was when Charter, which is a big cable company based in Stamford, Connecticut, acquired Time Warner Cable as part of a big merger. And in doing so, they took over the management of NY1, which had always been controlled by the Time Warner management team. And there's been a few changes. For instance, the graphics on screen got revamped. You know, NY1 always had this kind of adorably lo-fi aesthetic.
Right.
And it's become glitzier and a little flashier. And as the lawsuit describes, that internally, some of these women, particularly Roma Tori, who had been accustomed to, I think being a senior member of the NY1 staff, felt that management was signaling to them that they were no longer really needed at the network.
What is Charter Communications' reputation? Have they dealt with lawsuits like this or any other kind of lawsuits that you know of?
You know, there have been a handful of lawsuits broadly across the country from local news outlets alleging age discrimination. And it's an interesting thing because this has been true, particularly in the television news business, which is such a visually oriented medium. This has been something that people have lamented for decades. There's many examples of even star female anchors at the national level who are effectively let out the door while their male counterparts continue on and sort of, I guess, gain more gravitas as they age. So Charter, there was a lawsuit against NY1 filed last year by a video journalist alleging something similar. That is now in arbitration and has not yet been resolved. If you do read the lawsuit, there is a description of Charter's board of directors as being predominantly male. But I don't know off the top of my head, you know, how much that differs from other major companies in the cable TV business.
Yeah, the lawsuit is, by the way, my guest is Michael Grimbaum from the New York Times, who's been covering this New York One discrimination lawsuit. There was an interesting part of the filing, which, I don't want to weigh in on either way, where they showed pictures of some of these younger women who are working hard and want to make it in this business next to the anchors who say that their time has been diminished and they look, you know, similar. I used to work in TV news and there was an old joke that there's a certain kind of executive who hires a woman who looks like his second wife. That there's just this sense of the women have to be young and have to look a certain way. You know, are they useful in a case like this? I mean, in fact, Charter has pointed to that as being egregious.
Yes, I was going to say, it's a striking image that, to me, invoked, you know, I thought of that old movie, The Stepford Wives.
Yeah.
The housewives in Connecticut are slowly replaced by younger versions of themselves. Charter has pointed to that particular image as itself being objectifying. In other words, saying, you know, we've hired some of these younger anchors for their journalistic skills, and for you to suggest in the suit that this is purely aesthetic is in itself egregious. You know, whether or not that would be helpful in a court of law, I think it's perhaps a shock factor that and it certainly gets people talking. I did talk to a couple of labor lawyers who said that it is often hard to prove age discrimination at trial, just because there's not often a smoking gun. There's not often an email from an executive saying, you know, anyone under the age of 45, we got to take them off the air. And companies will often argue that these decisions are being made not systematically, but as part of individual programming decisions. So there can be kind of a high threshold in a legal sphere for proving this.
These women are media savvy, obviously. They've been in the business a long time. They've launched their own hashtag, Unseen Women on TV. They've got their own Twitter account. They were very savvy in the way they rolled this out. They had a media letter that they believe it was on Medium they wrote. I'm curious, as a media reporter, how does social media, what role will it play? Could it play?
I think quite a large one. I think looking at the Me Too movement and how that became such a cultural force, much of that was powered by social media and this sort of populist response to it. I think that it's very savvy from a PR standpoint that the women have made a lot of efforts to get their stories out there. I noticed moments after my story went up on the New York Times website, there was a huge response, particularly among the New York Twitter world, of interest in this, a lot of support, telling the women here to stay strong, that they have support out there, that viewers want them back, they should fight the good fight. So that's been a big element of how this story goes. Meanwhile, we're waiting for Charter to come back with a legal filing in the courts, which may not happen for a few weeks. So where the legal case is, I think, is still up in the air.
And to be clear, Charter Communication denies all of these charges.
Yes, they said that while they said they seek to have an empowered workplace, a respectful workplace for employees feel empowered, but they said that they had not found any merit to these allegations during their review of them.
My guest is Michael Grimbaum from the New York Times. He's been covering the New York One discrimination lawsuit. Now, did you talk to all five women, Michael? Was that right?
Yes, I did. I met with all five of them.
And what did you get? You know, sometimes things don't make it into your piece or your article. They get edited out. From your conversations, what did you get is their goal?
Well, I think, you know, they described this as heartbreaking, that many of them felt saddened that the institution that they devoted, you know, many years to, and I think an institution that I think there's a lot of pride at NY1, and this goes for people, many of the hundreds of staffers who work there, that it's a bit of a town square for New Yorkers. It really holds a place in the community. And I think there was a feeling of sadness that the new culture at the newsroom had shifted in this way, and they felt that Vivian Lee had come over from the local NBC affiliate, and she said part of the reason she took a job at NY1 was because it respected experience. She felt that it respected journalistic work in a way that other places in TV news don't, and so she was dismayed to find that, as she said, that this was just another TV news company now, that there was no longer an exceptional feeling to what NY1 did for its employees.
Have any of the anchors, the younger anchors, the male anchors, have any of them tweeted or responded to this case, to your knowledge?
I have not seen that. Pat Tiernan, the morning host, very popular figure in New York, mm-hmm. Who does come up in the lawsuit more about that management provided resources to Pat that Roma Torre felt she also deserved. He did bring up the lawsuit on his morning roundup on Thursday, and said that he wanted to acknowledge that the story was out there, and that he urged viewers to read the suit and come to their own conclusions on the allegations. So I do give NY1 credit for acknowledging that this is going on their airwaves, even if many of their anchors have not yet commented publicly about it.
And before I let you go, legally the next step is it's Charter's move, is that right?
Yes, that's right. So it's been filed in federal district court in Manhattan. Charter is expected to respond to some of the specific allegations in the complaint. But that is not mandated, I think, for I think it's a matter of weeks. So I don't know exactly when that will come, but it could be a very long process in the courts.
So it is to be continued. Michael Grimbaum from The New York Times, thank you so much for sharing your reporting and joining us on All of Us. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Coming up next, a new book called Waking the Witch, Reflections on Women, Magic, and Power. Pam Grossman wrote it. She will be in studio in just a few moments. Stay with us on All of It.